Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour. Talking all things Titans. We'll take your questions for PK on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, Brian Callahan addressing the media yesterday, PK. And they said in that session that they have come to a consensus as an organization. They are sticking at number one. And at this point, don't even bother making a phone call because they know what they're doing. And number one, and we all know that's going to be Cam Ward. So,
how silly is it, by the way, that they can't speak his name? Like,
I agree.
It's a TV show. I think it's strictly a matter of the TV show and trying to abide by what the league wants. You're tiptoeing around this thing. Hey, we know who it is, and you know who it is, and we're not taking any trade offers because we're so set on him. And our owner met him in Florida, yeah. And we're going to have the 33-minute press conference here, but we're never going to say his name.
What if they did? Like, what would the NFL do?
I don't know. But this team kowtows to the NFL historically. You know, it never does anything that the NFL wouldn't want it to do.
Sold to John Bon Jovi, though.
It's fine, according to Jason Lockham for
your boy.
Your Rex Rhodes guy.
Never met him before. I've seen you yell at him.
He's approached me like, we'll fight as soon as you're off the radio. Just for me citing the fact that he was wrong on, you know, four or five big Titans
stories. There was that. I said it to the heart,
and you're to blame.
Yeah, I said it earlier in the show that I didn't notice Callahan kind of catch himself yesterday. I think it was the Fortnite answer where he was talking about how, like, Ward knows his audience. He's like, you're going to get to know Cam Ward. It's like, oh, yeah, we are.
Someone who may like some video game.
You're going to get to know Cam.
Of some sort.
Knows his audience. I mean, knows his audience. He must think his audience is idiots if he thinks his audience thinks Tajay Spears is one of the best running backs in the league.
Titans fan, or
Treylon Burks. If he thinks his audience thinks Treylon Burks is one of the best receivers in the league, he's got a lot of getting to know his audience to do.
So you wrote about this yesterday, and it's something that we talked about a lot to begin the show. They spent a lot of time at the press conference yesterday talking about staying true to their board and making sure that they're picking the best player available, and that's the process to go through with the draft, particularly when you have as many needs as they have. And they brought that up, I don't know, probably 10 times yesterday. And yet, they're going Cam Ward at number one here. So, two things are possible here, PK. Either they are reaching on a quarterback at number one who they do not have ranked as the best overall player on the board, or they do have him ranked number one overall on their board, and they are very different from seemingly most of the rest of the league. So how do you view those two things?
Would make you question their judgment about rankings at the top of their board, or they've convinced themselves he's the top player.
Or maybe they're the smartest team in the league, and we just haven't figured it out yet.
I asked that question that got them started on that because I asked about the pull at 35 with the dire needs at edge and at receiver. And that got them started on the no, best player available, true to the board, all of that, which then, you know, left that question that I wrote about. Well, you're really hammering the best player available thing, but is that what you're doing at one? You know, which is a completely fair question. Look, and a lot of people who are inclined to defend them say, well, you don't know that Ward's not number one on their board. Well, that's fine. And that it's only pundits and draft analysts who are saying he's not. It's not only pundits and draft analysts.
Right.
I mean, I've talked to three other teams who say Cam Ward is not close to number one on their board.
Real quick.
Close to worth number one.
I'm going to interrupt and then let you get back to it. Anybody who does the draft, like the Bruglers of the world and all the – like, their stuff is informed by teams. It's not just their own evaluation.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
important for people to keep in mind.
And even somebody like me, who's not a draft Nick, is talking to people with other teams very early. Said, hey, is Cam Ward a guy who's worthy of the number one pick? And I got very, like, no. You know, I don't know how that translates on text, but I get no.
Yeah. A lot of O's.
You know, very expressive.
No! Yeah.
Very expressive. Absolutely not. You know, I think there's a pretty good consensus that Travis Hunter is the best football player in this draft, and that Abdul Carter is probably the second best football player in this draft. Now, and that others rank as better football players than Cam Ward. We know how this works. If you're a quarterback needy team at the top of the draft, you generally take the best quarterback at the top of the draft. And we also know the context that this quarterback being the best quarterback in this draft is nowhere as exciting a prospect as other quarterbacks at the top of other drafts has been. And we also know the context about quarterbacks who looked better than Cam Ward coming out, not panning out as number one picks in drafts. In part because they weren't good enough, and in part because the team that has the number one pick in the draft often is not equipped to maximize that guy.
I think that's a big point to make, and this team certainly looks like a team that has the number one overall pick. They fit the bill. They absolutely fit the bill of a team with the number one overall pick. Okay, so let's say, PK, that maybe they'll say he's top of the board. I think nobody would believe them. But let's say they were different from other teams and they had him like the fifth or sixth guy. What's the acceptable quarterback bump?
What's the acceptable quarterback bump? I think the acceptable quarterback bump depends on who you're bumping him ahead of. So if Travis Hunter we only know what we know right now, but if Travis Hunter is what people believe Travis Hunter is, I think bumping Cam Ward ahead of Travis Hunter could prove like a really deadly move.
Goofy AF, yeah. No, I'm with you. I think Travis Hunter's a huge part of the answer there. How do you? Maybe the Titans don't think. Maybe they also, that's part of their equation, is that they don't think he's generational, the overused term. And they, you know, they think he's, I mean, I hear some people say, well, he's really good at two positions, but he's not going to be great either. I disagree with that, but that's what some people say.
I keep going back to, though, like, clearly something changed for them in this. Because, the conversation after they got out of the combine was it felt like they were more open to trading out. And then it feels like, to me anyway, for like the last month and a half, it's Cam Ward. That's what it is. Well, so what shifted there? Obviously, they met him, but I keep going back to, like, you can meet him, you can talk to him, all those things, that's great. That never really changes the film. So what was your original evaluation on what the film was at that point?
Yeah, well, I think they probably liked the film, but I think that pro day and then the workout really put a capper on it. Now, it's not supposed to over – like Borgonzi said at the combine, like – only small moves from the board that we have set. And so we came back from the combine and we had a conversation here. So is Cam Ward fifth on their board going into the combine? Because the kind of only small move that they would make on anything that happens from there, we kind of agreed. Five, a jump of five sounds like as big as it would get. So is he five off film going into the combine? And we said, I find it hard to believe. I think we agreed, the three of us, that we found it hard to believe he'd be five going into the combine. But this, if they're going to say he's one on their board, then he was at least five going into the combine.
I think it's a lot more. One, I do think the interview, we talked about this, but it's like the interviews, if those interviews help you make sense of the stuff you didn't like on film and make you feel like, okay, he gets it and this can be taken out of his game. That's a big part of it. But also, I just think this is way more talking themselves into this than this is any sort of math, you know?
I agree. And that's what happens over and over and over.
Yeah.
You need it. He's got appeal. The good stuff on the film tends to overweigh the bad stuff on the film. The bad stuff on the film you tend to look at and say, oh, we can fix that. or like Callahan was talking about yesterday, you know, some of that bad stuff on the film turns into good plays, and, you know, maybe there's Patrick Mahomes stuff in there, and you've got all this time to talk yourself into it.
I got a text that pisses me off, man.
We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. PK with us for the rest of the hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. Join me in 102.5 The Game from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Coleman Tractor in White House this Saturday for Kubota Orange Days. There'll be exclusive deals on compact tractors, zero-turn mowers, and more, with special financing also available. The sale runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. with demos, deals, giveaways, and lunch from 11 to 1. That's Coleman Tractor in White House, located at 3631 Highway 31 West this Saturday. I'll be out there. Come hang out with us. It's going to be a good time coming up on Saturday. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Rex Row had a text that apparently really made him angry.
Hold on, I'm jamming out some George Harrison. Good choice, Ian.
He's less angry now.
Part of the greatest band of all time. Okay, yeah, this tax, and I've seen some of this, and we need to squash this. It says, y'all crap on Cam Ward every day. If he comes out and crushes it, are you going to come on every day and talk about how wrong you were? Two question marks.
Probably not.
Of course not. You won't have that same energy. Look, if you're excited, if you're a Titans fan, you're excited about Cam Ward, that's great. I mean, you're allowed to be. We are not crapping on Cam Ward. We're trying to talk about the reality of the situation. And if Cam Ward is great, you think that we're going to spin it that he's not great? That would be amazing for the city of Nashville.
What is this guy's name?
It's unnamed texture.
All right, unnamed texture. Let me try to teach you how this works. Today, we're going on today's information, right? If Cam Ward in his first four games is playing out of his mind, we'll go on that day's information.
Yeah.
See how that works? And we'll say, boy, I didn't see this coming when he got drafted because I had doubts about this, this, and this. We'll certainly mention it. I'm not going to go back and say, hey, you know, before the draft, I loved Cam Ward. That would be a lie. And we're not in the business of lying. But this idea that, like, if Cam Ward being good in 2 years or a year or in four games proves us, like, changes what's happening right now, it's false. Or, like, if a guy is bad, Will Levis is bad right now. If 2 years from now he's good for the Jacksonville Jaguars, it doesn't change the fact that on April 23rd, Will Levis's quarterback standing is poor. It doesn't change the history.
Yeah.
Right? There are reasonable questions about Cam Ward on April 23rd. Nothing he does changes the reasonable questions about Cam Ward on April 23rd. Look, that's not real heavy logic.
I think
concentrate there.
I think Cam Ward is a first-round talented quarterback. I do have questions as to whether or not he's worth the number one overall pick. I don't think that's some crazy thing. And by the way, so does most of the rest of the NFL, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about here. Let me make my position pretty clear.
I'd love to see him crush it.
I am actively rooting for him because, frankly, I am so tired of watching bad offensive football around here. I want Cam Ward to be great. So if he comes in and is great, I will stand and applaud. I am actively rooting for it. But I do think sometimes we go to too many extremes on this. It doesn't have to be, oh, well, these guys just think Cam Ward sucks because they're not saying everything is going to be great all the time with this guy. That's not how this works. You can have a nuanced conversation about it. And that's what we're trying to do.
And a lot of this market has shifted, right? I mean, some people loved Cam Ward from the beginning. But my sense is from the fans that I deal with, a lot of people had doubts about Cam Ward. And it seemed like the Titans maybe had some doubts about Cam Ward. As the Titans fell in love with Cam Ward, a lot of fans get hyped up, and this is the NFL draft cycle.
Sure.
They fall in love with the guy, and they're like, well, because they want him to be good, because they know he's going to be here, they fall in love with Cam Ward. And I think my thing is a little bit like, hey, There's no reason you have to go all the way. As with a lot of Titans things, the best thing to do is kind of tiptoe along and wait and see.
Yeah.
Instead of declaring him a Hall of Famer, take some time and watch. Instead of these huge waves and crashes, you know, picture it more like the Gulf of Mexico, you know, more flat water.
Well, I thought that was the Gulf of America.
Yeah,
they got changed.
The
Gulf of America?
Okay. That's not for me.
But here's another thing, too. This is less important than whether or not he could play well. Like, watch the guy get interviewed, the way he interacts with people. Like, he's easy to like. Like, right? Like, there's, and that's pretty much to a person. When they talk about Cam Ward, he's a pretty easy guy to like. So I think that factors into, you know, Titans fans, as they've watched more about him, they said, you know, I really like this guy. I think that factors into this, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But, yeah, I mean, as it's become apparent the Titans are all in, it makes sense for fans to embrace it and to look at, okay, what if it does work out? What are the chances it works out? And it could. He has the talent. There's enough good there where if you get rid of the bad and you can maximize the good, he could be really good. No question. But – again, like these evaluations of him, we talked about them before we were certain that the Titans were drafted. Like, that's what, like Paul said, they have seemingly shifted. And look, I still think that when it's all said and done, and I don't have any quarterback in this class where I feel great about them having a great NFL career, but I think when it's all said and done, Shedeur Sanders will end up having more NFL success than Cam Ward. If it doesn't happen, I will gladly admit I was wrong for the first time.
Yeah. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in David to the program. David, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, thank you. Just real quick, you know, I think the only reason that one of the reasons that they're doing this is their general manager came from the Chiefs, as one of you already pointed out. And Patrick Mahomes, I think a lot of the questions about Cam Ward were the same questions that people were asking about Patrick Mahomes, and that's how he landed. You know, he slid or whatever to the 10th pick or whatever it was that the Chiefs drafted him at. So I think I hope they're going to have the same plan for this quarterback that they're going to draft as they had for Mahomes, is that they need to sit him for
a
year.
They can't. That was a good team with a good quarterback that made the playoffs. This is a terrible team with no quarterback.
It won't be anything like that.
Okay,
this idea of sitting.
I understand, but they risk just ruining him by doing that. That's just my opinion, but there you go.
If playing him early ruins him, then he wasn't the right guy. It's the fact of life in the NFL.
I mean, I'd love to have that
situation. Jaden Daniels
played.
Bo Nix played.
CJ Stroud played.
Sure, it's an ideal world to sit a guy. But Steve McNair and Carson Palmer are the exception, and that's ancient history. Mahomes got to do it was a fantastic plan. Jordan Love and what happens in Green Bay is a huge exception. What happens with highly drafted quarterbacks in the NFL is they come in and they play and they take their bumps and bruises, and that's part of the growing process.
Which Peyton Manning did too, by the way. Of course. He's another example of that.
And really struggled and took, you know, record bad numbers.
Not that it's a big deal, but let's not revise history on that draft. Patrick Mahomes didn't slide. He was not considered like the top QB in that draft. He went about where people thought he would or might go a little later than that.
Well, yeah, and also I do think, you know, there are some similarities in terms of like how they are as prospects, but I think the big thing with Mahomes was the offense he ran, right? This offense that he's running in college going to actually translate to the NFL? You don't really have that concern with Cam Ward, but – you know, from the, you know, Lewis Riddick doesn't help matters when he starts talking about, yeah, he's going to have the same impact as Patrick Mahomes. Like, oh, really? Okay, that's a heck of a bar. Yeah. But the way that they play, there are some similarities.
And here's one
different
question.
Different arm angle stuff.
And,
here's one question I have about Cam Ward that extends to Bo Nix and that extends to Michael Penix. And, you know, I talked to somebody yesterday that said, you know, I hate NIL except for quarterbacks, because of what it's allowed these guys to do, where they transfer and they play a ton and come in with a ton of experience. Now, I think that does set them up for a chance at early success, and we've seen it with Knicks, who played well right out of the gate and had a good rookie year, with Penix, who looked good when he got into the lineup after Cousins. But I do think that there's a chance that these – that defenses catch up to these guys and that they have an early burst where they look good and play better than you expect out of the gate. But that I am not certain that Bo Nix will be good in year two, or that Michael Penix, when he gets 16, 17 games in, turns it over and is good. I want to see them, or Cam Ward, if whatever he does, I want to see them when they've gone through it for a cycle and defenses come back at them, if it's sustainable.
Sure.
Or if it's merely, hey, I had a lot of college experience, and so this first round isn't as hard for me, but what's it like when I'm deeper into this thing?
615-737-1025, our phone number. More with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. I got some tickets to give away to see Stained and Breaking Benjamin at Bridgestone Arena this Sunday. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win some tickets to see Stained and Breaking Benjamin coming up on Bridgestone Arena this Sunday.
Anybody want to go with me to see Metallica?
When's that?
Next Thursday and Saturday.
I just don't understand how that's appealing.
I'm poor. We don't like Metallica at Columbia University.
It has nothing to do with Columbia University. It's just not.
I only listen to New Order.
It's New Order. I don't understand how that's appealing either.
Was that your PK or was that your Borgonzi?
They're crossing streams now.
Yeah. How are we crossing streams when he's from Boston? And I hate Boston. I think Boston's a wonderful city except for the people who are there.
I'm taking Cam Ward.
It's so ridiculous.
How you like those apples, PK?
Except for each individual who resides there, yeah. I love Boston.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a text for you guys real quick. This attacks PK's bad take from earlier, which we've let him off the hook, Robbie, too much on his bad take.
Okay.
Scott from Edisonville says, is there a way they keep Levis and let him start this year and let Ward sit and develop? See, even that
question
thought is part
is why
of why
they have to get rid of him, because this idiot wants that. So because
don't
there's a bad texter,
don't you, call Scott an idiot.
Because there's a bad texter at the game, we have to shape our roster.
Oh, you think Scott's on some island here with this idea?
Because our community isn't up to snuff on how to form a football roster. We must make moves.
So, Paul, do you think it's not possible that in the very early going that Will Levis clearly outperforming Cam Ward, so then they then what do you do?
Oh, my God. We have a guy who's playing well. Let's get rid of him immediately.
Well, it doesn't necessarily even have to be playing well.
You're being so facetious right now, it's nauseating.
It just has to be, like, what if he's better than Ward? Like, you don't have to be – it doesn't have to be well. Like, right. What if he's just better than Ward?
Exactly. So, like,
I think if he's better than Ward, that's a good problem. Tell him he's the backup and he's sitting behind a guy with more promise who's the future and the face of the franchise. You sit over there. And we'll call on you when you're needed. Continue to improve your game. You're a professional. We're your bosses. This is what you're assigned to do.
Or Titans trade him. You stop having bad takes. That's another alternative.
Please don't talk takes. Like, when you do that,
have a take and don't suck.
You're
Paul.
Letting Stillman like shape your show. Don't do that. You're better. You're superior.
The word take is a problem?
Yeah, because hot takes is what his whole thing is about. You have some opinions. You're doing some analysis.
So I can say opinion.
You report things.
You have a bad opinion on this.
And having said all that,
I'm going to come in here. I got 16 hot takes I'm going to go over today. Two of them are going to be right. The rest of them are going to be wrong. I'll never mention them again. But I'm going to burn them into your brain. It's going to form a lot of opinions. It's going to be dangerous for the community. I'm going to go back, and we're going to revisit Mike Vrabel letting Terrell Williams coach that preseason game. I got 6 conspiracy theories about that. Obviously, the Titans still continue to repay the league by not mentioning that Cam Ward is the guy they're going to draft. They're not mentioning it as part of the Terrell Williams conspiracy. Back after this.
Right now, say you suck. Everyone sucks. Goo goo gaga. Suck, suck, suck.
You're like a wind-up doll. We can't stop you. Stop the stop the voice box.
So after saying all that, Will Levis probably going to get traded or released, huh? He's probably not going to be on the roster by the time camp comes around, is my guess.
It seems like that's the direction they would like to go.
Are you going to throw a fit when they
I'm not going to throw a fit, but okay. When Brandon Allen comes on and does nothing, I'm going to say, I know a guy with a pretty good arm who might have completed that pass.
He also might have arm punted it to, you know, the long snapper on the sideline.
Yeah. Agree. I don't think Will Levis is great. I think he's got some potential upside that we'll see at some point. I think Brandon Allen is what Brandon Allen is. And we know that's not good. And don't get me started on Boyle.
I don't think if Boyle
sees the field for them in anything other than a preseason game, they're in some serious trouble.
If people pay cash money to go to a preseason game and are forced to see Tim Boyle, that is a crime against the city of Nashville.
So there are a few questions.
Shout out to Tim.
Yes. Yeah, we love you, Tim. There are a few questions about along the lines of, is this whole thing of their shift and their, no way, don't talk to us. Don't touch my coffee. Is that about Amy? Is that about Amy saying, I love him? And then they're just going with what the owner says.
I can't imagine that is the case. If she has receded on all of these levels, if she is Homer Simpson disappearing into the bush, then why would she meddle in what they're doing? All indications are that she has empowered Burke Nihil's word and Chad Brinker's word. She's empowered Burke on the business side. She's empowered Brinker on the football side. Why would she empower these two people and then meddle on the biggest decision that's being made in terms of the football direction of the team? If she's doing that, it's even worse than our worst imaginations of what's going on over there.
Can I tell you one thing from the press conference yesterday that just really bugged me? It was when Brinker started going on and he was talking about how, you know, these guys don't even know this. These guys don't even know. But one day I was looking around the room and I looked over there at Borkansi and then Reggie and Dave and all these guys, and we got 9 Super Bowls between all of us. Coach too. Coach has won a Super Bowl in there. It's like, I do not care about any of that. I don't. Like, if I'm a Titans fan, I want you to stop talking about all that random crap. Show me you can go out and make some picks and stop worrying about what you guys have done in the past. I do not care about that if I'm a Titans fan.
And I think it was kind of out of character for what they're trying to do. They're trying not to celebrate anything. That's a conscious effort I know they're making. And so I think that was almost kind of a slip.
It just drove me. It really bothered me when he said that. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. But like, I heard that and I was like, oh, God, I don't care. I don't care about what you guys have done at previous stops and different roles with another organization. Let's go draft.
You are fired up today on multiple fronts.
I am.
And I like it.
I am. I need the draft to get
good.
We're almost there.
We are.
Give us some hot takes, Robbie.
Can't say take.
We can't do that.
Can't say take.
Well, that's what Rex Road wants to turn this great show into. A hot take.
Here's your hot take. The Titans are going running back, whether it's Cam Scadbo or somebody else, and Tajay Spears ain't going to be here by the time camp opens up. Here's your hot take.
Oh, well, that's big. Cam Scadbo is going
to
break in the NFL.
You think so?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's gonna send Rex Road over the edge.
That sucks. What a sucky take.
He's going to get beat up.
Have you seen that guy? He's going to do the beating up. Oh, I cannot wait for this.
But I do think – tell me if I'm wrong, PK.
They want to avoid injuries and bring in a guy that begs for them.
You know, they started talking about running back yesterday too, and then, you know, Callahan went on this thing. But I think it's very important to have 3 running backs nowadays. And it's like, okay, well, we'll see how important that actually is. I think they're drafting one. Like, I think they're coming out of this draft with another running back. And I do not think that is good news for Tajay Spears. And I feel like, PK, you know, as we've kind of gone through this and they've gone to their 30 visits, you were totally out on that idea before, and I think everybody feels like it's happening now.
Oh, I do as well. I sure hope still, you know, second, fourth round or a fifth round. Let's not get carried away.
If they're going to get Scadaboo, they got to get into the third.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well,
that's why they got to get into the third.
Here's a vote into the third.
I don't care who's there at 35. You got to get into the third. What an interesting, but seriously, like, like if you did that swap, let's say it was Scadaboo, because they also had Jordan James in, who's also like a power back, really, right? What an interesting switch from Spears, really, who's just a third down back, to superpower guy to go with, you know, the overall kind of balance, but still a powerful run on power. That's a
thunder and lightning. Get back to that.
Yeah, there you go. Some people would be like, that's going backward in football, but running the ball always works.
I also, I'm less concerned with Tony Pollard's workload than they are. Like, use him up.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, Callahan was talking about that philosophy yesterday, and he said, you know, there are obviously some running backs around the league that can handle that and can be the guy. But, he basically was just like, you know, it's that approach we think pays dividends of, splitting the workload up and being as fresh as possible for as long as possible, I think is the way he phrased it. I think that's clearly something that they're shifting to as a philosophy.
Look, if they get a good third back here, he's going to become the second back. Spears is redundant. Pollard is better at what Spears does than Spears. And Spears, to me, becomes I don't want to say a gadget guy, but you throw him out there a couple times to throw to him. Spears is good if you could get him in space as a receiver. Outside of that, I'm not really interested in seeing him take snaps.
Right, but so then you bring in a Scadaboo, and I think he can do everything, by the way. But, you know,
then he's
you have reduced, but you've really reduced your pass-catching element from that position, which is interesting.
Well, you just said Scadaboo can do everything.
Well, he can.
This big, quote-unquote big back, by big back, I'm saying a guy who can run effectively between the tackles.
Right.
And take a little bit of the pounding off of Pollard, needs to pass protect and catch. And if you get that guy, then Spears is completely minimized. I don't think he's off the roster, but I think he's minimized.
We'll have more with PK coming up next. Your final questions for PK before the NFL draft, which is tomorrow. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. One day before the NFL draft, Joe, we did have a texter pass this along from Charles Robinson at Yahoo Sports. Talking about Cam Scadaboo, says there are some ice cold assessments on him. Landing as a thud is a late 4th/early 5th round grade. After Scadaboo got a lot of votes for this year's All Juice team, really thought he'd have a higher profile among teams and possibly get himself into solid 3rd-round range. Now I'm not so sure. This is from Charles Robinson.
Well, then don't blow it, Titans. You know, that brings up something I'd like to read to you, too.
Okay.
This is in. Diana Rossini had a really interesting piece, a lot of things she's hearing here as the draft gets close. Last line, final words of wisdom. As you're getting ready to watch the draft and feel good about what your team is going to do based on needs and options, I'll share with you what a Super Bowl winning coach once told me. Quote, don't ever discount that there are dumbass teams, end quote.
Well, there's that.
The ones who think Scadaboo is not going to be a superstar in this league? Case in point.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just like Rondale Moore.
PK, one other takeaway I had yesterday was I think the Titans got a list of who – it could be there at 35 that they'd be willing to take, and others who, if they're not there, trying to trade back. I as we sit here today, a couple days before round number 2 of the draft, I'm probably on team trade back. Like, I'd like to see them trade back and pick up some picks. However, I recognize that if like a Luther Burden or
Egbuka
or whoever is there, that'd be awfully hard to pass up at that point. Where do you come down on that as we sit here today, a couple days before the draft?
I mean, this is purely gut feeling, but I just feel like it's more and more likely that there's going to be somebody there that they find hard to pass up in terms of being a talent that they feel like can really help them. And, you need the right trade to get out of there and go down the right range. The one thing I think that could help them if they want to make a trade is if there's a rush on one or the other. You know, so I think McShay said he thinks there's going to be a real run on edges. You know, so if there's a run on edges late 1st, and that leaves you three receivers that you really like at 35, and you say, well, we can go back seven spots based on the needs of the teams behind us, and we're going to be assured that one of those three receivers is there and we can find the right deal. Well, that's a favorable scenario for moving back.
And the run that should be happening around there could definitely be the QB run. That's where teams might want to get into those spots on a QB run.
Yep.
So get the QBs, yep. Get the QBs and the edges going. If there could be runs there that help one of your positions stay pretty much intact, that would help you maybe be able to trade back and still get one of your guys.
See, to me,
and I do think they like a lot of the receivers. Like, I don't think they – my sense isn't that they've got, you know, outside of – you know, I think Igbuka is the kind of guy that would make them stay at 35, I have to think.
I agree.
To me, it's like you we're talking about what they said yesterday, you know, going by the board, now they're going to do Cam Ward. I mean, again, go back to like the Brinker comments about the top 100 picks. And so you had opportunities to try to do things like that, obviously with the number one pick. But even here, too, to me, if you have an opportunity, you better really, really love that prospect to not take the opportunity.
Well, that gets into how much different is whoever's there at 35, how much better or do you have them graded than who would be there at 46? Or 50, or wherever.
And the overall league consensus would suggest it's not that big of a difference, right?
The overall league consensus also suggests that Cam Ward may not be worth number one pick.
There is that, too.
Well, you got
stop crapping on Cam Ward.
You got to carve that out. I mean, the way they talked, you got to carve that out and keep that separate from everything else. And then the league consensus seems to be like 15 to, what, 80 is kind of a similar pool.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, wouldn't you rather have two picks in that pool than one?
I would.
No question.
This roster certainly would.
You'd like four or six.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But good luck with that.
Any sort of sense that they could be open to moving Jeffrey Simmons? It did not sound like the Titans are considering making moves with their veteran rosters as of what Borgonzi had to say yesterday.
Yeah, and I checked in with a couple league people. Now, this is a couple days ago already, but they had no sense that Simmons was on the market. Now, I don't know that you'd be putting that out there that early. That's more likely something that would come to surface during the draft. But also, you know, a one-for-one for me, you know, even if you're getting and somebody told me he's worth a second or a third. Well, if you're trading Jeffrey Simmons for a third, you may not be using the third to replace him. You may be using one of the fourths. But still, it's a one-for-one. You're not really adding anything. Now, you may be able to use the third on a different position and use a fourth on a defensive tackle because defensive tackle's pretty loaded in this draft. But I'd want to be able to get two picks for him. If you get two picks for him, then you can add an additional player. And still, you know, I think people get too hyped at this stage. This would be a big parting theme for me. You get too hyped. They've got eight picks, and you think, well, they got eight picks. They're going to address eight needs. You know, two fourth-rounders and two fifth-rounders. If you get one starter out of those four picks, you're
pretty
doing
good.
Pretty
yeah.
well. Or two big contributors, you're doing pretty well. If you're putting down four starters for two fourths and two fifths, you're going to be really disappointed as a fan.
I would agree.
Sweet takes today, bro.
PK,
thanks.
Thank you for being with us. Enjoy the draft tomorrow.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
Jason Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.